Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. We're going to start off this morning with a swearing-in ceremony, and we're going to have the Honorable James Wilson presiding. So all of the newly elected and re-elected officials, if you'll come join us up here, and if you'll stand in front of our bench, face the audience, and then the judge will go ahead and do his duty of swearing you in.
Have a seat on the benches, and then we'll go in the order that Vanessa got on here. If you want to take pictures, feel free to come on up. So first, the age here. It's my honor and privilege to be here to perform this morning. So first, Commissioner District 2, Jay Carmona. So I think, you have anybody here taking pictures?
Yeah.
You're welcome to come up here if you'd like.
I just love it, so I guess I'm alive.
You're alive. Without you, there would be no Jay Carmona. So you can get anywhere that you would like. You can raise your right hand. Repeat after me. I state your name.
I, Jay Carmona.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
The Constitution and government of the United States.
And the Constitution and government.
And the Constitution and government.
Of the state of Nevada.
Of the state of Nevada.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Whether domestic or foreign.
Whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear true faith, allegiance, and loyalty.
You want to break that up?
Yep. And that I will bear.
And that I will
bear. True faith, allegiance,
true faith,
and loyalty.
Allegiance and loyalty.
To the same.
To the same.
In the ordinance, resolution, or law.
In the ordinance, resolution, or law.
Or any state, of any state notwithstanding.
Of any state notwithstanding.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
All of the duties of the office of.
All of the duties of the office of.
State your office.
County Commissioner in Story.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Next will be Judge Herring. Please raise your hand. I state your name.
I, Eileen Beth Herring.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government.
The Constitution and government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution and government.
And the Constitution and government.
Of the state of Nevada.
Of the state of Nevada.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Whether domestic or foreign.
Whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear.
And that I will bear.
True faith, allegiance, and loyalty.
True faith, allegiance, and loyalty.
To the same.
To the same.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Of any state notwithstanding.
Of any state notwithstanding.
And that I will well and faithfully.
And that I will well and faithfully.
Perform all the duties.
Perform all the duties.
Of the office of.
Of the office of. Justice of the Peace.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God. Thank you.
I have the Janice Smith who's not present. Janice said that, excuse me. Not present, okay. Then Vanessa and Ann and Jen Chapman and Cheryl.
Okay.
You want to come up?
Yes.
I state your name.
I, Jan Schneider.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
The Constitution and government.
The Constitution and government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution and government.
And the Constitution and government.
Of the State of Nevada.
Of the State of Nevada.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Whether domestic or foreign.
Whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear.
And I will bear.
True faith.
True faith.
Allegiance and loyalty.
Allegiance and loyalty.
To the same.
To the same.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Of any state notwithstanding.
Of any state notwithstanding.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
And I will well and faithfully perform.
All of the duties of the office of.
All of the duties of the office of.
Secretary.
There we go. On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. School board. You can get closer if you'd like. Okay. They said they're good. Please raise your right hand. I state your name.
I, Jeffrey Thompson.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
Do solemnly swear or affirm.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
That I will support, protect, and defend.
Constitution and government.
Constitution and government.
Of the United States.
Of the United States.
And the Constitution and government.
And the Constitution and government.
Of the State of Nevada.
Of the State of Nevada.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Whether domestic or foreign.
Whether domestic or foreign.
And that I will bear.
That I will bear.
True faith, allegiance, and loyalty.
True faith, allegiance, and loyalty.
To the same.
To the same.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Any ordinance, resolution, or law.
Of any state notwithstanding.
Any state notwithstanding.
And that I will well and faithfully perform.
I will well and faithfully perform.
All of the duties of the office of.
All the duties of the office of. School board trustee.
School board trustee. On which I am about to enter.
Which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. And GID, anyone here? Mr. Minkler, Armis? No? Then I think that's everything. Okay. Congratulations. Thank you, Judge.
Stop, start, reset. Okay,
thank you, appreciate it.
Okay.
Enjoy. Something to frame for your wand. Oh, you bet. Yeah. It'll go next to my Power 1 certificate.
See you later. Next year?
Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I'll be clerk you gave, right? So, we can thank our friends for that.
My husband is down because he is 18 inches. I've got to go over there.
He's ready to go?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
That's
it.
That's one.
Morning, everyone. Scurry County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. If anybody has any audible devices, cell phones or otherwise, please silence them now. It's not to disrupt the rest of the meeting. We'd appreciate it. You stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, I jumped the gun a little bit. Even after reading my agenda, we're going to go on to item number three. This is the election of the chairman to the Story County Board of Commissioners for the term of 1 year pursuant to Story County Code 2.04.008. So, at this time, the nominations are open for the position of chairman to the Board of Commissioners.
Mr. Chairman, I move to Lance Gilman, Commissioner, move to nominate Marshall McBride to serve as the chairman of the Story County Board of Commissioners for the term of 1 year pursuant to Story County Code 2.04.008.
I'll second that.
Very good. A motion and a second to appoint Marshall McBride as the chairman of the board for a period of 1 year. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you, fellow commissioners. I appreciate your confidence in me to continue chairing this board. I enjoy chairing this board. It's an interesting position to have, and I look forward to this coming year. Thank you very much.
Well, I've had the honor of sitting here with you over many years, and you do a magnificent job. Probably the finest board commissioner that I've ever watched here at the podium. So thank you for your service and for taking on those challenges.
Thank you for the compliment.
You bet.
Moving along now to item number four. This is the election of the vice chairman to the Story County Board of Commissioners for the term of 1 year pursuant to Story County Code 2.04.008. At this time now, the nominations are open for the position of vice chairman. At this time, I would like to go ahead and nominate Commissioner Lance Gilman to go ahead and fill the position as vice chairman for the Story County Board of Commissioners.
I'll second that.
It's been moved in second to nominate Lance Gilman as the vice chairman of the Story County Board of Commissioners. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Mr. Gilman, welcome once again. You've held this position before. You a fine job, and I appreciate you stepping up to the plate on this matter as well.
Thank you for the opportunity.
All right, now we're going to move along to item number six. This is our consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, if I can get a motion to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll move to approve today's consent agenda.
I'll second.
It's been moved to second to approve today's consent agenda. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 7. This is a discussion only. We'll take no action or public comment. These are committee and staff reports. I see the sheriff has exited the building, so we have Chief Deputy Tony Dosen representing the sheriff's office today. Anything from the sheriff's office today, Mr. Dosen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That was a good report. Thank you.
All right. Since we're on the right side of the building, we'll bring up Mike Northman if we have a report. Mike Northman is our operations and project manager.
Good morning, Mike Northman. For the record, reporting for Public Works. Congratulations to Commissioner Carmona. Look forward to working with you, sir. A couple of very small water breaks that were both service line. One was just actually a leaking meter. It was down in the Gold Hill area. Those have been repaired. Crews are doing a good job staying ahead of the storms. A lot of guys have been plowing mostly over the weekends, it seems like. Also maintaining a state of readiness for upcoming weather events. A couple small list of projects here. Piper's Opera House, the original windows have been rehabbed. One of the sashes was never recovered, and two more of them were not originally, were replacement sashes. One of them was a pretty good job, and the other one was terrible, so we're having two of them rebuilt, so we have a uniform appearance across the face of those windows. Central Sierra Construction is working on those currently, and I'll have a better idea of when those are going to be installed. Also at Piper's Opera House, I'm going to be working on construction of an office on the first floor there to relocate the director's office from that third floor. It's a hazardous area up there. I know she's actually fallen once on the stairs, so we're going to get an office planned together for the first floor in what is currently the carriage house area. 6 Mile Canyon drainage improvement. We are working with Far West Engineering on that. Austin and Sherry and I are going to be in a conference call to try and obtain an easement from a landowner down there, which will save a tremendous amount of money if we can cut an alternate channel through about a 200-yard area. So we're proceeding on that. I just got the file for the Mustang Road, which is where we're attempting to abandon that portion of it that's in Washoe County. I'm still getting familiar with the events and legal descriptions and all that, so I'll be able to report better on that later. I did meet with Mr. Denny Dotson and Mr. Peter Dubay, our architect. We're starting the initial phases of design development for a structure to occupy the Black and Howell building site, which will provide a new visitor center and get the Crystal Bar back into operation as some retail space or something. We'll let you know as that proceeds. I also did meet with Mr. Dotson regarding some improvements or proposed improvements to the fairgrounds to include water and power improvements and the addition of some public restroom facilities modeled heavily on the ones that are at the north end of town by the gas station there. Also looking at parking and traffic flow through that area. That's all I have, sir.
Questions, Mike? Great.
Thank you.
Mike. Okay. Next up, the director of the VCPC, Denny Dotson.
And it will sell the crystal, probably sell it and lease it. We may work on it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everybody, and welcome, Commissioner Carmona. Happy New Year. Yes, Denny Dotson, the tourism director here in Virginia City, and we've hit the ground running this year. There's a lot of things that we have in the works, a lot of new projects. Mike mentioned a couple of those with the developing the master plan for the fairgrounds. We've also spoke with the architect on the Black and Howell. I'm excited to show some of those renderings of what it might look like, kind of a blend of yesteryear with some a new twist, if you will. We've also been working on putting together our marketing budgets, our special event budgets. Already started compiling those to work on our overall budget that we'll be presenting in March. So it takes a little bit to do, and we've already started that. And with that comes the announcement of our special event calendar. My hope was to have a card for you guys today, but we'll get them off the printer this afternoon. So I can swing some of them by later this week so you guys will have those. But we'll do a big formal announcement online, social media, and all that later this week. So look for that. There's some exciting things that are coming. A couple of new items, the International Mining Competition, the Collegiate Games, hosted by UNR, will be here in Virginia City in March, a week after the Oyster Fry. That'll be 250 college athletes will be competing in seven different events here at the fairgrounds. So we'll hope their snow is a little bit less than probably it is today. But it'll be fun. They're excited. Other things would be a Cowboy Wild West Fest and Memorial Day weekend. We'll be upgrading the rodeo. It will be more of a Fiesta del Charro, the same show, 2 days. It was very worked very well last year. Big cattle drive. There'll be a women's car show, only women's only car show we'll have down at the Silverland parking lot. And then a new twist for camel races will be Hot Camel Nights. We're going to have that evening show on Friday night. So, not to mention our probably biggest focus next year will be Christmas. We really have some big plans for Christmas that'll be over at least 3 weekends. So we'll be anxious to unveil those formally here towards the end of the week. And with that, also I sit as a chairman on the V&T Railway Commission. Same thing there. They wrapped up the Polar Express. I couldn't be more pleased with the job that Elaine has done. Really has controlled a lot of the expenses. And I don't know that the revenue is quite what it was last year, but the expenses are well under control, and I'll look for a much different result than what we had last year, which was about a loss of $150,000. We'll be nowhere near that, possibly even breaking even. We'll know once we start auditing the numbers, but a big swing towards a positive for that D&T. With that, that's all I have, Commissioners. Thank you.
Any questions for Dennis? Thank you, Dennis.
Very good.
Water line and sewer system special projects manager, Mike Nevin.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, Mike Nevin. Again, I'd like to congratulate our new County Commissioner, Jay Carmona.
Thank you.
Jay, welcome aboard. And to all the other elected and re-elected officials, the same. A little update on the project. Basically, the sewer is pretty much complete. We finished closing out the stormwater protection permit on that with a little bit of rehab that we had to do on Silver Street over here just between C and B, and that's a little piece that the county will eventually probably go in and replace that sewer line for that one block there. Probably done next spring. So, the water line, we've completed the walkthrough with USDA for the pipeline itself. That has been completed. Thus forth, we can move forward with requesting the Board of County Commissioners to approve the substantial completion, and that'll be on your agenda for next Tuesday, just almost a week away, so on the 15th. As part of the five-mile project, as it turns out, we have almost $555,000 remaining in the pot of money for that job. And as you'll recall, in 2012, when we did the preliminary engineering report and the environmental assessment for that project, originally that project included the installation of a new water tank on the south end of town here above the treatment plant. We have two tanks there currently. One of them, the smallest one's about 90,000 gallon. That tank was actually given to the county back in the 1950s by one of the mines and mills in Gold Hill and moved up there. Over the past few years, that tank has just been deteriorating, and it's now at a state where it has some concern for the public works crews. We had divers up there last fall, and they wouldn't even go in that tank because the superstructure is falling apart and some of it was laying on the bottom of the tank floor. And that tank, over the years, has been really bubble-gummed together, if you will, with welds here and there, so it's in pretty bad shape. So the original goal was to maybe replace both those tanks with a larger tank, but in looking at it, we're thinking that it probably is going to be best to replace the tank with two tanks and or one new tank and rehab the 250,000-gallon tank. Well, what the $555,000 does for us, it gives us money to do that design, to get the site, you know, set for the placement of these tanks, and hopefully about $447,000 towards construction. So we might be right there with one tank, so, you know, that'll be a good thing. And as you recall, the interest rate we're paying on this amount of money that was originally from USDA loan is 1.3%. So in today's world, I think those dollars now from USDA are almost 4%. So, you know, we've got a pretty decent interest rate on that money, and if we can use it towards, you know, that end and getting a new tank up there, that'd be a good thing all the way around. So we met last week. I met with Far West, your staff, Jason Wurzbeck, he was there, Sherry was there, and we met with Far West. Sherry has an email into them. Of course, government is shut down. They're affected, so we haven't heard back from them. But I think, you know, they're going to agree that the best, you know, course of action for those remaining funds is to do as I just mentioned. So we just have to wait till government reopens and they get a chance to do the review. Far West will be doing a task order for their share of the design work, and we should have that probably by the end of this week. So that's where we sit on those two projects. Let's see. Again, we'll be here next Tuesday. Oh, on the 5 Mile project, there are a couple of things that we still need to complete. One is the fencing around the 5 Mile tank, and that got put on hold because fencing contractors, like every other contractors, is busy, busy, busy. So they're supposed to do it hopefully sometime this month. We've got about 140 linear feet of fencing that needs to be completed up there. The other thing that needs to be completed by the contractor is the reseeding of a portion of the project that goes from what we call a sheet cross, about 2.5 miles out over grade, and then crosses country and up to the 5 Mile Reservoir. We were hoping to not have to reseed that. The BLM would allow us to go ahead and use that as more of a permanent access route. But and finally reaching out to them and getting somebody that, you know, had some authority to make a determination, they have no appetite for allowing that to happen. Will it happen over time? Yeah, certainly. I mean, you know, how do you close that off? USDA has agreed to allow the contractor to complete that within the warranty period. So within this next year, you know, when the weather improves, they'll get that portion reseeded. And then they have to close out their stormwater protection permit for that project as well. So they still have equipment in their yard up here below the water plant, and will probably stay there for at least through the winter. I know they have a big project that's going to start probably in February out at the USA Parkway interchange and I-80. So it's no problem with allowing them to, you know, utilize the area they've got up there for their construction yard. So if you got any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Very good.
Mike, County Fire Marshal, Martin Acevedo.
Morning. For the record, Martin Acevedo, Surrey County Fire Marshal. Just a kind of a review and update of projects, mostly year to date, I'm going to give you today. Construction documents reviewed year to date. The plan review has been 173. The permits issued year to date has been 261 permits. Business license 119 issued for the year. We have active nuisances. We have 36. Only two of them have been settled so far. And on inspections, 1,787 year to date. With the staff that we have, that's pretty incredible how we're kicking these out. Myself coming from the State Fire Marshal's office, my prior job, they had more staff, and I don't think we got that many done in the whole state. So that's a pretty good number for the staff that we have here in Story County. Phenomenal staff. We have a really great staff, and they work very hard. Open permits, the Gigafactory alone, we have 106. Those are mostly TIs. Other commercial, industrial, 65. Residential, 60. And trailer, 16. I'm also happy to report that Pete Renault has been promoted to the senior building official for our department. He's done his training. He's done a great job. He's always there. When I need him for something, I call him up, and there's no questions. He jumps right on it. So he's not here today, but I just want to wish him congratulations. He's done a phenomenal job and is definitely one of the people that's the future of this county, this department. I think that's about it. I'd just like to say thank you to all of you. Been here for a little over a year now as your fire marshal. I've enjoyed it. It's been quite the honor. And I look forward to another year. And that's all I have to report.
Any questions? Great. Thanks, Mark. Our Emergency Management Director, Joe Curtis.
Happy to have at this time. Mr. Chairman, I would say the weather today is not my fault.
Not my fault. Public Works Director, Jason Wurzbecki.
Nothing in this time.
County Fire Chief, Jeff Nevin.
Happy to have you, Mr. Chairman.
Director of HR and Planning, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Seven things here just to update you on. We've updated. We're going to bargain the Waste Management Franchise Agreement for trash pickup. We got notice from Waste Management. They like the contract as it is, and they would like to continue it for another five-year period. I provided them a letter back thanking them for that, but we would like to discuss a few things. So I'm communicating with folks at Waste Management, the Story County School District, our own team, and looking at doing some fact-finding in our region, what's going on in Reno, Sparks, Carson City, and some other folks. So I'll give you an update as long the way where we are in that, and including when we open up that contract. Title 17, the zoning ordinance update, is still underway. Probably about three-quarters finished with the Planning Commission. Do a couple more workshops, and then the Planning Commission and our team would like to do a roadshow around the community and make sure everybody in all of our communities have a chance to weigh in on the update changes. The Mark Twain flood study is still underway. We've had our first major community workshop. We're taking photographs and things that those people provided and using them to provide modeling. That modeling is about the preliminary design is all done. The GIS and all the animated modeling is finished. And at this point, they're doing the finalization of that. And we're going to have another workshop in Mark Twain for people to be able to weigh in and review that. The USGS water study in the Highlands is still underway. on its second year. Another public workshop will be coming later this spring, and the next modeling and findings will be provided for the public, and we still appreciate those people that are participating in well monitoring. The Virginia City Water Tower cell tower by AT&T, the special use permit was submitted last week, and Kathy and her team are putting that together, and we'll have it to the Planning Commission. Then the Virginia City Highlands Monopine cell tower is underway. I've been communicating with Gary's team at Community Development that are doing the inspections on the antennas and other equipment, and it's moving very slowly, but it is moving forward with steady progress. And then last but not least, I provided a letter to both the Firefighters Association and the General Employees Association, noting that we are going to rebargain our contracts for those two unions this spring. And on February 2nd will become the new season for bargaining. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Austin?
Yeah, Austin, I was wondering, is there a target date for that monopine to be up and running?
The target date is about Christmas of last year. That is the truth, but it is moving forward. I know, Martin, you probably... I think Martin's still here.
No, Martin.
I can find out for you in the next day or two exactly where that is. It's getting close, but it's taking some time. But I'll have an update for you.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks, Austin. It's the Comptroller's Office, Mr. Gallagher.
Nothing so far this year, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Chief Deputy District Attorney, Mr. Loomis.
Nothing this morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
All righty. District Attorney, Ms. Langer.
I do have something, actually. Martin had mentioned the nuisance, that there's 36 open or active nuisance cases. What that actually means is the Community Development Department through Joe and Ashley are doing a really good job of addressing the nuisances without them having to come over to my office for prosecution. So when he talks about the active cases, that means that those, I think out of the 36, I've got six cases, active cases at my office, but the rest of the people are complying, they're working, they're cleaning up their properties, and I think it's been a very positive program, and a lot of change has been made in an area that's been very complex for many, many years. As far as the nuisance issue has gone in Story County, when I was looking at the cases, some of them, the nuisances in town have dated back to 1999. And so I'm very pleased with the new program in place, with the Community Development Department actually making a lot of progress. And so that 36 number is actually a very good number.
Thank you, Ann. All right. The County Manager's Office, Mr. Whitten.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First off, I would like to echo the congratulations, starting with Commissioner Carmona. I don't have to call him Commissioner-elect anymore. I've had the honor and pleasure of working with many Commissioner-elects throughout my years, and I will tell you that, inclusive of the two gentlemen, also commissioners at this table, Jay worked every bit as hard during that period of time where he was not commissioner. He was commissioner-elect. He also worked very hard even before he was even elected, asking questions, just digging into the grassroots of county governance, particularly Story County. Super job attending the NACO conference down in Douglas County this year. And I look forward to working with him for the next several months. So congratulations, Jay. And then also congratulations to all those reelected, many of which were probably smart enough to go ahead and bolt from the room as soon as they got their certificate. So I'll single out Ann and Vanessa and say congrats. That's a true testimony, and I'm proud to be able to continue to work with you guys, too. Someone previously mentioned our next meeting is January 15th. Because of the holidays, special meetings, everything else, we've been on a kind of a wild schedule. And in talking with the chair as we closed out last year, calendar year, we decided that rather than stay off schedule and have it 2 weeks from tomorrow, we're going to have it a week from tomorrow. So January 15th, just heads up. I have a choice of looking at this as scenery or possibly a beach and a Mai Tai in Maui. So I will be in Maui, but there probably will be one item I'll work with Chief Deputy DA Loomis on that I'm going to mention here shortly. And if I need to call in, I certainly can. Haven't received confirmation yet, but I only sent an email out early this morning to our bond counsel and our internal counsel. To the best of my knowledge and Chief Deputy Loomis's, our protest period for the tax increment area passed, I believe, on January 3rd, Keith, if I recall, I think.
I think so.
And it passed without any adverse actions. So that should be the last of that. And then we'll go forward with the structures and accounting and all that process through Comptroller Gallagher's office. And last on the list, and this is very conceptual at this stage, and I'm going to be very specific in my words so it doesn't get misunderstood by anybody, hopefully. Late last year, in the latter part of last year, we were approached by the current operators of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, GID. That is, and it's got a number of entities involved that actually I'm still trying to understand or beginning to understand, and I'm thankful for Keith Loomis helping me there. But as is public record and common knowledge, the master developers have pretty much sold themselves out of land and business. And they have operated that GID. I don't know how many know this, but my understanding of the model has been that the master developer, Mr. Norman, has put it all in, all the infrastructure. The GID has no debt. It's all been done on cash and been handed essentially turnkey to a separate local government known as the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center General Improvement District. In Nevada, there are two ways that you can structure governance of a GID. And Keith, correct me if I misstate any of this, please. You can have a general improvement district that has, that is, its board members are constituted much the same, exactly the same, actually, as our Canyon General Improvement District. They're elected. That's always been a problem in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center since we don't have that many residents there. We currently have about three, and that's a five-person board. So we have two openings, and if anything were to happen to Mr. Thompson, God forbid, or others, we'd be scrambling, I think. So the ask was from their legal counsel, Bob Sater, that would Story County consider, and that's all they've asked so far, consider reverting or transitioning is probably a more appropriate word, to the second form of governance, which is where the Story County Board of Commissioners sit and wear the hats of the General Improvement District trustees. So in essence, a change in the composition of the governance, but really no change in the GID. And this is where, again, just in the interim 25-30 days as we've been talking, it's pretty easy to assume that this means the county's taking over the GID, and that is not true in any way, shape, or form. First off, we don't even know if we're going to recommend it. There's a massive amount of due diligence to understand, you know, what is there, what needs to be done. So we're just at the beginning line, start line to go through those processes. I anticipate you'll be hearing more and more about this over the ensuing months. But we got to know what's there before staff can, and legal counsel can even make any type of recommendation. To that end, probably at the 15th meeting that I won't be at, Mr. Loomis and I chatted. Well, you may not know, but it again is fairly common knowledge that the county's general engineer that we use is Brent Farr, Far West Engineering, and his team. we were so pleased with it that the GID uses them too. And while I'm not going to suggest that that creates a conflict of interest, it really creates just an appearance that we want to be double sure and double transparent that if we're told gallons per minute flow treatment capacity, I'm saying things I know nothing about, are X, we want a second set of eyes on that. And at Mr. Loomis's recommendation, I was thrilled. He reacquainted me with a man I've worked with for probably close to two decades, and that's retired Lyon County Public Works Director Mike Workman. I think Jason has known Mike over the years. Stellar reputation, has interfaced with GIDs, knows systems very well. So Mike will kind of be our counterbalance as we go through due diligence. And through Mr. Sater and Roger Norman, TRI has agreed to reimburse us for Mike Workman's expenses. So that contract will come up probably on the 15th. Again, is a done deal, far from that. A lot of work to be done, a lot of dialogues and discussions, a lot of understandings. But I did kind of want to kick that one off as the new year started. So if there are any questions along the line, I will welcome them from any. But again, I stress the county is not taking over anything. The county, Mr. Loomis, I'm going to look for a nod. The county would not be liable for anything. These three gentlemen to my immediate left would just become the Board of Trustees for the Tahoe Reno General Improvement District. And in my initial opinion, while Chris and I have had some pretty spirited conversations about not wanting to get into the business of GID and liking the Canyon model, really the other options don't seem to be anywhere near as viable as we begin to kick these off. I mean, you could hand it off to two or three or four of the big users, but now you've got the potential for infighting. I really think at this early point of the process that this proposal shows some promise of being the most independent oversight that a GID board could provide, given the special circumstances of the lack of residents out there. So that's about all I have right now. Okay?
Great. County Clerk.
Ms. Stevens. Nothing today?
All righty. That concludes our committee and staff reports. We'll move along now to item number 8. These are board comments. We'll take some action to public comment. And so we will start at the far end of this bench with newly elected Commissioner Jay Carmona.
Nothing at this time, except look forward to working with everybody.
Very good. All right, thanks, Jay. Vice Chairman Gilman.
I don't have any good day, except I'm looking forward to working with Jay.
Very good. Thank you, Lance. We haven't met since the Christmas New Year's holiday, so everyone had a nice holiday season. It was very festive around Virginia City. There was a lot going on here in town. So I hope everyone enjoyed that. I want to go ahead and give remembrance to the passing of longtime Virginia City resident, Bonnie Craig. She raised both her son David Craig and Linda Craig Del Carlo here in Virginia City. They moved here, I think it was in the 50s. She worked with her parents, Jeb and Margaret Robins. Jepson, and they had the B&T Cafe on Main Street, and that's where the Comstock Bandito sits today. So it was a little cafe that we could go have lunch at on our lunch hour when we were in school. She worked at numerous businesses around Virginia City. She even worked for my dad back in the 70s, and I worked with Bonnie. She was a great lady. She was born about a month before my dad, so they used to banter quite a bit between the two of them. She married a few times, and she always outlived her husbands, and except this time. Her most recent husband was Dick Ponce, and Dick, I believe, was our first director of what has become the VCTC now. And he worked in his office. The original office was in the back room of the Delta Saloon. Angela Petrini had given him a little desk area back there to operate when the Tourism Commission first originated. So anyway, she still has her children left and a bunch of grandkids and that. So anyway, well, Bonnie was a great, funny lady to work with, and so she'll be missed by her friends and family. So with that, we're going to go ahead and move on to item number 9. This is discussion of possible action. Approval of a proposed recruitment process, timeline, position, announcement, and salary range for the new Story County manager.
Mr. Chairman, as I invite a longtime friend, I'm not going to say old friend because I think she's younger than I am, but as I invite a longtime friend up, I want to kind of provide a little background. Y'all know that, again, this one is definitely no secret, that I hope to be out of here sometime this year. In that process, you know, one of my responsibilities really is how do we go through a process that is honest, based on integrity, and number one, purely has the goal of finding the very best candidate for the job. And I ran this around with a number of people, and she hates public compliments, so I'm not going to give her any compliments, but one of my people that I always bounce things off of is our district attorney, Ann Langer. And in talking about processes, what we could do to keep it transparent, and again, focused on the goal of finding the very best candidate, whether internal, external. Ann explained to me the process, as I recall, of how Carson City once upon a time went through their selection of their next city manager. And she explained the process purely without naming names. Carson City's had a few over the years. And I liked the process. I thought the process provided for public input. It provided for staff input. It provided for public interviews in front of the commission. I liked the process. But more importantly, I happened to luck out and ask Ann, who was this that got picked? And she said Linda Ritter. And the dots connected. When I got my job in 2005, Linda was then the city manager for Carson City. We developed a strong professional relationship. I can't tell you how many things I've learned from Linda. I can tell you that in a job like Linda had, and I have for a little while longer, there are some things you never, ever, ever forget. They just don't go away. And it was a great opportunity to reach out and say, Linda, do you have any interest? I've included a resume because I don't want you to think that we just picked up, you know, some person off the streets. Linda has got a vast background. She continues to consult. And with that, knowing that my goal probably is to stay in the shadows as much as I can, there are a couple of checkpoints that, you know, I'll provide input and I'll always be there. But again, make sure we find the very best candidate, bar none. I'm going to pass the baton on this over to my good friend, Linda Ritter, to explain.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Pat. For the record, Linda Ritter, Linda Ritter Consulting. And good morning, commissioners. I have to tell you, on the drive up here, I never tire of that drive. It is absolutely beautiful. You live in a beautiful area. And so thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Pat did ask me to come in and talk to some folks. I've talked to several staff people. I've got to a couple of you commissioners, one I've missed, and I hope to catch you, Commissioner Gilman, to talk about what you may be looking for and I won't say replacement to Pat, I don't think he can be replaced, but as a new county manager. And what I've developed is a position announcement brochure, which you should have in your packet. And let me just talk about a couple of the highlights of what the qualifications are that I gleaned out of my discussions with everybody. First of all, a manager that empowers managers to manage, but holds them accountable. A real strong customer service focus that was repeated over and over. And that is in terms of processes, county processes, streamlined review and approval processes in terms of economic development, a strong financial acumen, understanding budgeting and how all of that comes together, some knowledge of utility operations, planning, tourism, collective bargaining, a very well-rounded person that has touched in to all those different areas. Understands the importance of intergovernmental relations because we are part of a region here, so that's important. So those are a couple. I've gone into more detail in the brochure, but those are some very strong points that were brought out to me in my interviews. Education experience, we've kept it very broad and stated it as equivalent to 4 years degree and 10 years of management experience, and that's upper management experience. To give you that flexibility, you don't know what kind of applicants you get. You may get somebody that has that advanced degree and not as many years experience. You may have somebody that has 20 years experience doing the same kind of things that you're looking for Story County. So we wanted to keep that very broad. The salary range is listed as $115,000 to $157,000. And one point that I put in here that I don't know if it will impact interest or not, but they must agree to live in Story County. There has been discussions, and I know we had that discussion in Carson City with my replacement, who did not live in Carson City, should that be required. It's been my opinion that if you are sitting in a county manager's position, you're making decisions that affect the entire community and you should be part of that community. But that is absolutely up to this board whether they want to make that a requirement. In terms of process, my plan is as soon as you approve this, we will post the position announcement online and distribute it to other local governments around the state. We collect resumes and applications, and around February 1st, I will review those applications, pick those that meet those minimum qualifications, rise to the top, hopefully select 5 to 7 candidates for preliminary interview. The preliminaries are 2 panels. One is a citizens panel. I would ask that 2 citizens be chosen by each commissioner, that's 6, and then add another 3 that your county manager would choose in order to make sure that we have a good rounded interview panel representing all aspects of the county. An internal panel would be the 2nd panel, and that would be 7 to 9 staff members chosen by the county manager. And the reason I like the panel, and I've used this, not only it was used for my interview, I've used it for others also, and I used it internally for department heads, is it gives that person coming in people on all levels, the citizens level as well as the staff level, gives them some insight of who is coming in, who may be their next county manager. Gives them some buy-in. So I feel that it's really important. It's a really positive process for all involved. I'm targeting the end of February for interviews with the panels, and then the top 2 or 3, after those interviews are done, pick the top 2 or 3, and those would come before you, hopefully in the beginning of April. Now, I know Pat is ready to exit and looking for a date to exit, and I've suggested that let's see who his replacement is, and then he can formally talk about what that introduction period would be to the new county manager and determine what his departure date would be or his retirement date. So that is it. Do you have any questions, or would you like to see any changes on the brochure?
I might have a little concern about the timeline. I feel like we might be dragging it out too long.
Okay.
I think I'd like to see a more expedited process because if we can get the person who we think is going to be able to replace Pat, I'd like to get them on board as soon as possible because there's a lot of moving parts to this county, and I think that they're going to we need to utilize as much information as can be derived from that while we're still here.
I think that one thing that drives that, that may drive that, and the reason I put that final interview to April is because if somebody from out of the area is a top candidate that you're going to want to talk to, it may take time to get them here. I would say that as we look at the applications, if we're able to get them here quicker, absolutely, because I know that time is of the essence. We would do that. Yeah.
That's the only comment I got on this.
Okay. Okay. We will do our best through the process to move that up.
Okay. You guys have any questions for Linda? All right. Anybody have any public comment on this item? Ms. Bart?
The
Paul Barth, Story County resident. Congratulations, Jay. Happy to see you. I read through this, and it is a very good process. So from that standpoint, it works for me. But the one area in the process that is kind of disturbing to me is that you got shorter than a one-month window to do any recruitment. Unless you already have who you want to hire in mind, which means it doesn't matter, you know, that it's only going to be now 3 weeks to get applications, then the recruitment period to find the best candidate for us, 3 weeks is simply not enough. So I have a concern opposite to yours. I understand there's a times of the essence if Pat wants to leave in the July time frame, April being finalizing it. But if anything, I would increase the recruitment time at the front end and accelerate the back end and still, you know, meet the April-May time frame. So that would be one suggestion I have. The second suggestion is, or what I noted in reading this that is markedly absent, is there's no request or requirement that the person coming into this job actually possess experience in having done it. I've come up here several times in the past couple of years to make the statement that says, given everything that we have gone through, given everything that has happened to us in how much we've grown, not just in size, but also in complexity, that we can't afford to have somebody in this position after Pat that is going to be learning on our nickel. If anything, given our position on the world stage, given our position on the state stage, given who we are in driving the economic development in northern Nevada, we need somebody in this job that's been to where we're going. So again, I say, unless this has been written for somebody who already exists in the county that does not possess the experience that we're going to need in the future, then I find a big missing in this in not stating that we as citizens deserve to have somebody in that job that knows how to, that knows where we're going, how this thing can play out, who's already done the kinds of negotiating with large businesses that will benefit us at the front end instead of at the back end going, oh, gosh, we need a service contractor. Gee, there are all kinds of options. I'd be looking to Oregon and New Mexico and other states for people who have done this and are looking to make a change. I mean, that's what recruitment does. So my question to the commission is, why are you sub-optimizing? Why are you providing what I consider to be a low standard for experience in this job when it's only going to be getting more complex and we need somebody who's already dealt with that level of complexity?
May I take a step? Just for a moment.
Go ahead.
I've had department heads that have either threatened or said, you know, in a friendly way, you know, I'm going to retire, you know, and now I'm not. Yes, I am. No, I'm not. I don't want to come across like that. But I have, as of January 4th, so last Friday, was my 20th anniversary with this county. I was sworn in as sheriff on Jan 4 of 1999. I love this county. I'm not going anywhere. There is nothing magic about July 1 or June 30 other than the bonus from last time. I'm not going to be stupid there. But let's say, and we just recently posted for a pretty important job in the county. We got two applicants. We may accept one of those applicants, and we may go back to the drawing board. We do that all the time and start again. And I guess my pledge to the county and to you as a voter and a taxpayer in the county, on record, not going to stick around forever. You know, I was going to leave when Bob Kershaw and Bum Hess walked out the door, and then I found two gentlemen, Lance Gilman and Marshall McBride, that I thought, well, if you want me around, I'll stick around a little while longer, maybe a year, and 6 years later, here I am. That won't happen. But my commitment to the process is, I think Linda has done a very good job. I'm concerned with the out-of-state, to be honest, because of culture. you know, it's Linda's to structure, but I think we've had some similar agreements for the most part. I don't want to bring somebody in from the East Coast that doesn't know how to say Nevada, much less understand what Nevada is. I mean, we're going to get out, trust me. I mean, a job that pays $150,000 a year or whatever it pays, we're going to get a number of applicants. Let's see who we get. If they don't pass the panel musters, if they don't pass any of that, then we'll go back to the drawing board and I'll stick around another couple months. And I guess the same is true, really, when you look at that transition that Chairman McBride's worried about. You know, if it's internal, and I can look you straight in the eye and tell you, nothing here has been written internal or external or internal, period. Okay? The goal is to get the best candidate. But I will also tell you, if you bring somebody in that needs more culture training as to what Story County is in the state of Nevada, and should the commission want me to stay on for 30 days, 60 days, you know, whatever, that's fine. But should you also hit that grand slam with whoever that may be, I don't want to be that seven-day-old fish in the refrigerator, you know, because the new person's going to want to hopefully say, when am I really in charge? And what's this guy doing, you know, over my shoulder? So my encouragement, my commitment to call it the process play itself out. I think it's got potential and hope. And I also have enough flexibility in there that July 1st is not cast in concrete. I haven't noticed purrs other than to meet with them, so I know what's going on. So that's my 2 cents for the report.
Thanks, Pat.
So what I'm hearing is, since there's no definite back-end date, you can increase the recruitment time at the front end. And I disagree. I don't know that going – I agree that going to the East Coast is probably not the best thing. But going outside of Story County, actively recruiting, and potentially out of Nevada, because let's face it, Nevada is now blue. And you've done that. You've done that by how well you have created an environment at TRI for California companies to be moving in here. And so I would suggest that we might be babes in the woods in trying to deal with the California effect by not having a person in that job that knows what that's like. And the continued, for lack of a better term, inbreeding of putting in the same people with the culture and the culture and the culture, you will not get anything new in the organization. Organizations die from founder's syndrome and from overusing internal people. You've got to bring in new ideas and new things. And again, I'm saying we as a county are no longer who we were 10 years ago or even 5 years ago. And we're going to be very different in 5 years. And we need somebody who's been to where we're going to make that pain of that growth not as bad. That's all. And I think you're shorting the citizens of the county by not requiring actual experience in county management in this job description and in these screenings. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I can address those concerns. As Pat has said, certainly if we have to extend it, we will. When we talk about that management experience, believe me, I'm looking for somebody that's been in a management position or assistant management position, because it is truly unique. In terms of the recruiting, I plan to recruit online. I'm looking at also possibly ICMA. People that are looking for county manager jobs are out there, and they're looking now. If we extend the recruiting period, you might pick up a little bit, but people that are looking at moving on, moving into a different area, they are looking right now, and as soon as we get it to the right spots online, we're going to pick them up. But again, if we don't get that right candidate, you get to do this. You don't want to have a bad hire. It's so important you do it right the first time. So if we go through this process, we don't find any, I will be talking with Pat and saying, we may need to go out and we need to spend some more time, because my goal is to get you the absolute best county manager possible.
Thank you for your clarification. Mr. Constant.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, Mr. County Manager, Madam DA, Mr. Deputy DA, ma'am, Chris Thompson, project manager, Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. I couldn't disagree more with that last set of comments from the previous speaker. I couldn't disagree more. There is nobody that has been where this county is now and where this county is going. There is no other county out there that provides a blueprint for Story County's future. Story County has blazed a new path. We should not forget that Story County being where it is now, as a hotbed of the economic engine driving northern Nevada, the recipient of billions, and soon tens of billions, of Wall Street money coming in annually, there's no other rural county in the United States that has been here. None. And so if we restrict ourselves to look into some big government out of Sacramento or San Francisco or some of Denver or Boulder or Colorado Springs or somebody that's been in management in those areas, we are selling ourselves short doing that. We should not forget that this county, the current structure of this county and the success, was built by a kind of a cowboy contractor, county commissioner, a couple of other cowboy county commissioners, and a retired banker. There wasn't anybody in this county that had experience at some big metropolitan area in California or somebody else. And this is a crucial time for TRI development. I just talked to a major builder in Reno over the weekend when I was at a funeral down in Las Vegas, and he was talking about how horrible it's becoming now in other major metro areas, even in this state, to get anything done. This county is so, so special. And I think this cultural element that's here, that is in each of the departments and the county commissioners, is critical to the future of Story County. So I encourage this to not be stuck in a cookie cutter, you know, some bureaucratic progression promotion from some major metro area. And let's not forget where we came from. Let's not forget the people that are here now and what has brought us success. And let's continue to think out of the box and keep our eye on the prize, which is continued economic diversification and success. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. All right. We'll continue on with public comment. Any more public comment? No? With that being said, then we can get a motion through. I'd like to get the ball rolling on this. So we can get a motion.
Agreed.
To.
I'll move to approve the recruitment process, timeline, positions, announcement, and salary range for a new county manager as presented today.
I'll second that.
Okay. A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Thank you for coming up today, Linda.
Thanks, Linda. Thank you.
Next on our agenda today is item number 10. This is discussion of possible action, 2019 appointments to serve on state, county, and regional boards. Mr. Whitman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Every year, first meeting of the year, we go through this. Without violating the open meeting law, typically I will individually chat with the commissioners and staff and say, you've done a great job. Are you interested in staying? This year was a unique challenge and a good one. Former Commissioner McGuffey had a large number of committee assignments, and as you look at those, some of them are more localized. Others are others can take you clear back to Washington D.C. quite frankly. And what I wanted to do, and what I strove to do, was to keep things as much the same as I could in my recommendations, our recommendations, but in all honesty, also give our newest commissioner, Commissioner Marcona, below that, time to on-ramp, if you will, time to learn that NACO, for instance. I will give you a class behind Jay. I was blown away by the dedicated time he committed to the Nevada NACO conference.
But when you do that on top of your other responsibilities, including running the homeowners association and out plowing the streets, grabbing him for 7 days and taking him back to Washington, D.C. is a pretty tall order, in my opinion. So I kind of worked a few of those committee assignments. I guess I'm going to wrap it up by saying, in essence, almost everything that Jack had, Jay's got. The VNT Railroad, this was kind of a full circle for me, and I smiled at it. As we walked the legislative halls on our bill draft to reconstruct or reconfigure the VNT Rail Commission, Marshall McBride was there every day. Marshall McBride reminded me that in the early days, he sat on a committee that worked this from the very beginning. He's got a very rich history. He provided me a video back from, the 80s or the early 90s, the VNT Rides Again, as they were trying to pick up steam, pun intended, to get to where we are today and where we'll go tomorrow, thanks to Denny and others. So the committee assignments I'll basically just kind of blow through real quick, and they're listed in your agenda. But safety committee, I indicated no change. Actually, if you looked at last January, I think Vanessa was our chairwoman. She flaked out on us, and Jeff Holman, Jason's assistant, was kind enough to step in and has done a much better job than Vanessa. So Jeff's our recommendation, and it really is no change from where we are. This next one is probably huge, and I stress, when I say Marshall McBride and all others, I mean all others. That's not just me or Austin or Hugh or Jason or Ann through her DA's association. But Lance, you were huge one session ago, 2 years ago, with that idiotic bill by Skip Daly. That's coming back at us. We're going to need help again. We're going to need Danny Coyne because it's coming back. Jay, you need to get immersed in the process. We need to get you to walk those halls. I kind of have fun watching a few of your Facebook posts where Jim Wheeler weighs in and appreciates. Believe me, Jim will be one of our biggest allies and friends that we need down there. So really no change. It's just Marshall McBride and the whole darn team. Jay's going to take over the Fourth Ward School and Museum Board. Lance will move into NACO at least for a year. We'll see how it goes at the end of the year and how Lance feels about it and how Jay feels about it. Nevada Works, no changes there. Lance and Austin's our alternate. Senior Center, Lance has done wonders and actually put Lance in. We only had Sherry Nevin before. But Lance has really embraced the consolidated success and momentum of both senior centers and potentially other senior centers in the county, in the Mark Twain area, and hopefully someday out in the Highlands once we get a good facility out there. Lockwood Senior Center, no change whatsoever. That's really what impacted the previous one. St. Mary's Arts Center, again, Jay was working closely with Sherry as an alternate. Western Nevada Development District, Austin stepped in to pick that up for Dean and has done a fabulous job, no change. SLU PAC, Austin and Kathy as our alternate, no change. National Resource Conservation District, that's all Kathy now. Truckee River Floodplain Flood Management Authority, did I miss one?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Truckee River Flood Management Authority, this is the Technical Advisory Committee. Lance, Austin, and Kathy have been working through that one. I apologize for skipping over number 10. Thank you, Keith. The Carson Water Subconservancy District, that's going to be Austin. You see presentations by Ed James recently, so that's an important committee assignment. We're appreciative of Austin's great work. Comstock Historic District, that's actually a governor's appointment, but we put it on there anyway just so everyone knows, and then it'll continue to be Marshall McBride. Again, a fact I really love because I remember shaking in my shoes the first time I had to apply for something before the historic district at the RV park because it was a different McBride. Daddy McBride, Don McBride, was there, and he was the only one to ask the tough questions. So I think it's a great match. The Nevada Commission for the Reconstruction of the B&T Railway, Marshall again coming back on. VCTC, Lance agreed to stay on there and done a great job. This oversight of Fire and Public Works is kind of one of those, you know, again, we need a commissioner. They're not really in charge, but they call shots, if, you know, either if I'm not here, they can consult with me, and it makes sense to have the local VC person, and Marshall's done a great job. Other commissioners were very helpful during our January 17 snow and floods. Hill Jay spent more time in the ECC than I did as the HOA president. But it's nice to have a chairman when you need to say, we got to move and we got to move now. EDON, no change, although to be honest with you, because of some philosophy differences, my activity with EDON has diminished a bit for the moment. In NDA, no change. Lance has been on the board and will continue there. And the Wildlife Advisory Board, no changes whatsoever with Rob Dufresne, Greg Hess Sr., Bum Hess, Jim Clark, and Rich Backus. And last but not least, the Washoe Story Conservation District. That would be Kathy, and then Austin would serve as an alternate. So those are our recommendations, Mr. Chairman.
Great. Thanks, Pat. Is there any public comment regarding these appointments? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll move to approve the committee appointments as recommended by staff or as alternatively determined.
Motion, do I have a second?
I'll second that.
Should move to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, moving along now to item number 11. This is a discussion of possible action. Review and possible approval of the Story County audited financial statements for the year ended June 30th, 2018. And today, representing DPH Ron Thornton, CPAs, we have George Costanza. We have Joe Costanza here. Mr. Gallagher, you have the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have before you the review of possible approval of the 2018 audited financial statements by DePietro and Thornton. As I was going through this this weekend, I was looking and comparing the document that we got in 2016 to the one that we currently have now. The 2016 contained about 45 pages, and this is 97. This does not, I think, reflect anything that we have changed, with the exception of the Government Accounting and Standards Board and some of the things that they needed to take a look at, and other things that Joe may mention today as far as the balance sheet is concerned. As far as the general fund and all of the funds that we have, I think we're very healthy right now. We've done a tremendous job. All the department heads have done a tremendous job of curtailing their expenses when needed, of only expending what they can. Our revenues have increased over the prior year, but it's actually about 8% or 8.5% over what we budgeted. So we have continually tried to be very conservative with our estimates on the budgeted revenues. This is really not a bad figure. It's more or less personal property taxes, which at that time I couldn't identify with the state's progress, but we came out okay. And then on the expense side, we were 5.75% below what the budget was. So again, my congratulations to the department heads for doing a very good job. We remain healthy in our ending fund balance. And with that, I will go to page 38, which is, there's an item in the notes that Joe wrote about excessive expenditures over appropriations. I will not go over it today because those remarks will be probably at the next commissioner's meeting, which you will have to approve before I send it to taxation. But that was on page 38. Again, our just to make note of our Our abatements that we gave out into the for this last year were about $57 million, and that was an increase of over last year. I think with that, I will conclude my remarks and let Joe take you to some of the notes that he has to the financial statements, and also some of the requests for us to do some added work during this current year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gallagher.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here today. Also, thank you for giving me the opportunity to work on this audit. It was a pleasure to work with all the county staff. I might have annoyed a couple of them with a lot of questions, but they were very helpful, and they helped me get this audit done and get a good job for you guys. I would like to apologize for my voice. I unfortunately have kids, and they've given me a cold, and I think it's been that time of year for everybody. One of the things I want to tell you, first of all, there was a clean opinion on the audit. There were no issues. That's kind of what we're looking for, and we'll make everybody happy on that. But there were some big changes in this past year, accounting-wise, in the governmental standards that completely changed the look of your financial statements. And to explain what it is, I kind of want to go back to the past. That was 5 years ago. The pension liability was added to your balance sheet, which was the underfunded PERS, your portion of the underfunded PERS. This year, that was $20 million on your balance sheet. That 5 years ago, it never existed. You can make a case that you'll never pay that because obviously PERS would have to go under and then people would have to come after you. But it was something that was done. So we've added that, but in this past year, they've added a new standard, and that was the OPEB obligation of the county. And that's benefits for retirees, such as health insurance. The county has gone as a pay-as-you-go system on that, so you use your current revenues to pay off the health insurance for the retired employees. Well, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board has decided that we need to book the unfunded liability of that. If you look on your financial statements, that's an $18 million underfundment. If you look just between those two, your net assets decreased $38 million than where they would have been on the standards that were used 5 years ago. You know, it's hard as an accountant because I think kind of it's a liability that doesn't really exist as of the date. You are paying as you go. It's almost as if you're doing a personal financial statement. You have a kid and you have to put the present value of their college education on as a liability today. It would be nice to fund it, but you guys are in the same kind of situation most small counties are. It's a pay-as-you-go, and, you know, really, if you have an extra $18 million, it would be good to fund that, but as you know, that's pretty hard to tell, and you're not the exception, as I say. Most small counties are that way. But those are two big issues that completely change the way your financial statements look. As I said, your net position for governmental activities is down to $2.7 million. But a lot of that is because of that $38 million that is being booked as a liability that in the past never was. One of the other things I want to talk about today with everyone here, the board, was part of our job as an auditor is not just to say that your books are in good order, but it's also to look at your accounting system and see if there are any deficiencies or weaknesses there that we need to talk to you guys about and talk to the accounting staff about. A lot of people think this is kind of errors, that we're looking for errors of the accounting system. You know, I kind of like to think of it as ways that we're looking to help improve it. No one's perfect, and if I didn't find anything, I'd say you should look at me and say I didn't do my job. So I don't want you to think I'm, you know, attacking the accounting system, because I think you guys have a pretty good system. But I do have some things that I kind of wanted to bring up. Two of them are kind of small. One of them is kind of big, but again, I'll go through it and just kind of explain to you what we're at. There are two types of problems. A significant deficiency is the first one, and that's a kind of a hole in the accounting system that could lead to a material misstatement of financial statements, but, you know, there really isn't anything there right now that shows that it would. And we did find two of them. during the year. The first was the county doesn't, you don't prepare your own financial statements. You kind of rely on me as a CPA to do that. A lot of like, say if, you know, if you were an SEC company, you'd prepare your own statements, the auditor would look at and verify them. Here, I have to kind of type them out, and then we work with the staff, and they approve them. Again, this is kind of the norm for a county your size. No one's doing their own statements. The only reason why I bring it up is because I think it's something to keep moving forward, keep doing, seeing more and more that you as a county can do. And I've worked with Hugh and the staff there, and they're going to work to do more. And this past year was a little bit tough because, obviously, I came in, and they had a whole new computer system to do. So they were kind of busy, but they did help a little bit more than in the past, so I was appreciative of that. This is something I don't think you can ever do because of your size to get it to go away. I'm probably always going to mention it as long as you have me here, but it's something I think is important to keep mentioning. And as long as I keep having, you know, cooperation to move forward on this, to keep getting more and more done in-house from the comptroller, I think it's better. It's going to help you guys also get better statements out every 6 months or so, and I think... So that was the first thing I noticed. The second thing was during the year we had a little problem with the accounts receivable from the ambulances at the fire department. There's a little changeover in personnel there. If we asked today, you know, I worked with Tiffany down there and she was incredible. If we asked her what was owed to the county today, she was able to tell me. She had problems though going back to June 30th because of the actual computer system finding the right report. And to be honest with you, it was a little specialized situation because of HIPAA laws, I couldn't just go in there and go have complete access to it. So I was kind of a probably someone she didn't like for a while, but she was very helpful. I think it's something I just wanted to mention just because we had so much time into it. But I think it's something that really I think you guys are on top of. So I'm not really concerned with it. I just wanted to mention it. And I think that going forward that will be cleaned up and it won't be an issue at all. Now, the one thing I do have is a material weakness that at one point the financial statements, you know, were materially off. And that is your investments need to be booked at fair market value and not at the historical cost basis. In the past, you guys have kind of not done it on the historical cost. It hasn't made too big of a difference. But you've had a lot of money in there from Tesla and whatnot, and you've invested in the last year. So it has made a major difference between the historical cost and the fair market value. So we did work with the accounting staff to get them to book that up, although we actually ended up booking it down, I'll explain that in a minute, to the fair market value. And it was quite a big difference. It was a couple hundred thousand dollars. Again, no pushback. I think it's going to be changed going forward. I think it really needs to, just because of the amount of your money you're investing now that you actually have leftover money to invest. Now, I would like to say the investments are way below where their costs are. And I know my first thing was, well, that doesn't sound that good. But I will tell you that they're all stocks. I mean, they're not stocks. Most of it's bonds and CDs. And they've already gone down because the interest rates have gone up. So the value of those bonds and CDs are less. But as long as you're not selling them, if you're holding them to maturity, it's kind of a paper loss. You'll pick it back up. You know, if you have a $1,000 bond, as long as you hold it there and get $1,000, it's okay. But if you want to sell it, you have to sell it now for $900. Kind of that situation. So I want to work with the staff so that they can get that in there. So in the future time, when you look at the financial statements, you know, say a 6 month financial statement, you'll have actually where the fair market value is of the investments, not the historical costs. And I think it's going to make it easy also because most of these statements that they get from the investment companies are at fair market value. So it'll be easier to tie in. And I think that will be a pretty easy fix. But it is something that I did notice that it was causing a material problem during the audit. Like I said, the staff was great. They realized that they needed to be fixed, and they were able to fix it for me very quickly. So it's not something I think is... That is terrible, you know, but it was something I wanted to bring to your attention, and I think it's something that needs to be fixed going forward. I know I've mentioned it in the past. I mentioned it last year, but in the past, like I said, because you didn't do investments really that much, it wasn't a big deal, and now it is. And I'm not sure if you guys had any questions on the financial statements.
I don't have either.
No. I don't either, so.
I've had time to review it. I think everyone's had time to review it, so I don't have any questions on it. The only question I have is when you're mentioning the financial statements, are you suggesting that the county do its own financial statement or just let it go as is, or will you just be duplicating the work that you come in at the year?
Well, ideally, to keep independence off, you guys would type the financial statements and I would look at them. Like I said, these are 100 pages and they're pretty complex, so it's kind of hard to do, especially with the staff size or size. So ideally, yes. Do I expect it to happen? Not really where you're at right now. No one your size does do it. I just think it's in the ideal world and something I mentioned because the office has worked with me to get closer and closer, and I think as long as we keep making steps forward, it's good. I mean, I hate to say write down a suggestion that is maybe unattainable, but I don't think it's bad to give it out to you and to say this is what the ideal world was.
The comptroller's office pretty much knows where everything is on a day-to-day basis. Plus, on a quarterly basis, we do an in-depth review at these meetings, knowing exactly where each department is, revenue versus expenses, and so we know if they're where they're supposed to be. So, to go ahead and produce, multiple financials throughout the course of the year might just be spending more time and money than would be necessary.
And that's kind of the point why I say when you're small, I don't even know if you'd have the staff, you'd have to hire someone. As long as you guys are good with the numbers, and they are, this is more kind of the window dressing of it, putting it all in there. So as I said, it's in there as a suggestion, but no one your size does do their own statements. It's in some of their financial statements as a suggestion, too. It's understandable, and as you said, you can't spend all this money to make me happy and make me do less work.
And if I may, if you and I talked at length about this, and not at one of the bars, but we just have the check and balance flip-flopped, if you will. And we know that, because Mr. Constanza and his firm probably are a whole lot cheaper than hiring another staff person with PERS benefits that would need to bird dog this. So it's kind of one of those things, again, Joe's obligated to call that out. We appreciate it, and it's a conscious decision that management has made in this process that, we'll continue to try to get as prepared as we can to limit Joe's time. This DevNet-Tyler transition, I got to tell you, Hugh and his team, and that's a lot of you out there, have just done heroic, but it's not easy. Everything disappears off servers because somebody else comes in and not on staff. But thank you, Joe, because we like having you on, as our staff on that, and then we check you.
It's in our advantage to accept his suggestions when it comes to booking or investments and things like that, too, that we have a more accurate accounting on exactly where our balance sheet sits. So,
yes, sir.
Which is good. Yeah. Any other questions from the board? If we could open up, if there's any public comment, if anybody has any questions from the audience for the auditors.
Well, I'd like to thank you guys again. Like I said, I just want to thank everyone, the staff, the controller, but everyone else in the county that was able to help me. I greatly appreciate it, and greatly appreciate all the help I was given.
Well, and then the comments that we've received from the comptroller, too, is they're very happy with the work that your firm does. And, of course, the only consideration that we always look for is to try to speed up the process, but we know that we're a little bit slow. We're switching over from the old S400 system to a new system, which kind of complicates getting all the information in a timely manner as well. So, all right, with that, we can go ahead and get a motion to approve the audited financials.
I'll hereby move to approve the Story County audit financial statement for the year ended June 30th, 2018.
I'll second that.
All right. We moved in second to approve the Story County audit financials. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Great job. Thanks for coming up today.
Thank you.
Okay, moving along now to item number 12, discussion on possible action, approval of the National Radon Action Month Proclamation.
Mr. Chairman, I received an email this morning from Sherry Nevin, who is stuck trying to get back here over Donner Summit. And apparently similar road conditions must exist on Geiger Grade. I'm not sure about that. But the folks at UNR have respectfully requested that this be continued at a future date to be determined.
Yeah, good idea. Any public comment regarding this item? We get a motion to continue this item to the next regularly scheduled meeting.
Yeah, I'll move to continue this item to the next scheduled meeting. I believe that's January 15th.
I think we just need to continue to a date to be determined. We don't know when they're going to be here yet.
All right.
Okay.
Then I'll amend my motion to continue this item until known date is identified.
Sounds good. I have a motion. I have a second.
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded to continue this item to another date. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All righty. Moving along now to item number 13. Anybody need a break yet, or are we good to go? We've been going a little bit about an hour, 40 minutes. Everybody okay? Yeah. Okay. Amend project completion benchmarks for contract with Robert Lubberg to review. Who's handling this? Are you handling this, or Austin?
Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. Austin Osborne, for the record. Okay. In about July 3rd of 2018, you all approved a contract with Rob Lubberg to update our floodplain ordinance. I explained to you probably a dozen times or so in staff reports what that does for us. I'm happy to do it again if needed. The ordinance or the contract contains benchmarks, things that are supposed to be done at certain periods of time. There's been some unforeseen circumstances causing delay. I've worked with Rob individually to try to create benchmarks that are not only reasonable for us but achievable for him. And we believe that the benchmarks that are in front of you to be the new Appendix A to the old contract that is to remain unchanged would suffice to fix these issues. Everything else as far as the substance of the contract and the contract itself would remain unchanged from its original point. And I just want to remind us this is a coordinated effort with the Carson Water Subconservancy District and the regional counties all the way from Alpine County, California to Churchill County, Nevada, in trying to create a consistent regional floodplain ordinances and planning. And this will tie into all the other things we work on with these types of projects. Happy to answer any questions.
Do we have to draft a new ordinance?
Yes. So this contract will cause a complete rewrite of our floodplain ordinance in Title 15, and that'll go through some community workshop and ultimately up to this board. There's some issues with our existing floodplain ordinance. It's old. And it needs some compliance and consistency with FEMA requirements. It needs some consistency with planning, Title 17, and building requirements. And also, in order for us to help get ourselves some CRS credits and other benefits, which result in lower floodplain insurance ratings for folks down in Lockwood, to create some regional consistency and regional planning. In other words, our ordinance matches up with Lyon County's, and to try to create some continuity for a mutual benefit.
If we're going to amend the ordinance, we have to have first and second readings on that as well. We can't do that with a vote on this, can we?
I've run this through the DA's office. I understand since we're only doing an amendment to the benchmarks and the appendix that we're okay just with one change.
Yes. All right.
This is just to amend the time limits in the contract.
It is not an ordinance change, what we're doing today.
I thought it written in here that we're going to go ahead and amend the
ordinance.
The ordinance.
Yes, the contract being approved, which was already approved, is for a project to amend the ordinance.
Okay. Once we get the product, then we'll know what amendments we want to consider.
Okay. That's right, and there will ultimately be a first and second reading to this board with a new ordinance created by this contract.
All right. Commissioners, have any questions for Austin? No, public comment regarding this item?
You're taking pipe, Richard, or
okay.
Well, that's it. Since we need to make some changes, I'm going to motion to approve this.
Yeah, based on the recommendation by staff, by Lance Gilman, motion to approve amending project completion benchmarks of contract with Robert Lovebird to review, update, and amend Story County's floodplain ordinance as indicated in enclosure B, amended scope of work and schedule.
All right. A motion, a second?
Second.
Moving a second to amend the project completion benchmarks for the contract with Robert Lovebird. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Moving along to item 14, discussion of possible action. Consideration of possible action on resolution 19-562 to provide a date for a public hearing on the proposed lease of a portion of Piper's Opera House, commonly known as the Old Corner Bar, located at 12 North B Street, Virginia City, Nevada, to VC Ponderosa Saloon, LLC, for a monthly rental amount of $1,800.
Mr. Chairman, Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is a resolution brought pursuant to NRS 244.2833, which authorizes the county to lease portions of its property that are less than 25,000 square feet. And the Piper's Opera House, the old corner saloon, is well less than that amount. And so we are authorized to avoid an appraisal process and a public bidding process and to go ahead and lease this directly. But we have to approve a resolution setting a date for a hearing at which people can present whatever ideas or objections or whatnot in opposition to the proposed lease or in favor of the proposed lease. So what the resolution does is it sets 10:30 February 5th as the date for a public hearing on whether or not to proceed with the lease of the Old Corner Bar to VC Ponderosa Saloon, LLC.
Okay. Just as a clarification, that's the legal name of the Ponderosa Saloon is when they were, the owners were, they were previously located at the Ponderosa Saloon, so that's their legal business, even though that they're at the corner bar now. They didn't change their legal, the legal name.
Okay. You know, if I may add, Mr. Chairman, I don't want to get too specific on the lease, but we have provided a markup copy. This, in essence, really was based upon the lease with when Bill and Tammy leased it from the school district. Bill and Tammy and I have met on multiple occasions, made a very few minor changes, provided things that seemed to make sense that were missing in the school district that I applaud Bill and Tammy. They were very agreeable with things like a late fee if it's not paid in, you know, X amount of days. We went through room by room and talked about what space they needed. We put a dollar amount on liability insurance, just things like that. I rented property to others, so I've been a landlord. I currently don't right yet. I will again soon. I wish every one of our tenants were as good as Bill and Tammy are in this process, but we'll talk about that on February 5th.
Okay. Very good. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Okay. Commissioners, have any questions? Okay. If we can get a motion.
Hi, Lance Gilman, hereby move to approve resolution 19-526 to provide for a hearing on the proposed lease of a portion of Piper's Opera House to VC Ponderosa Saloon, LLC on the 5th day of February, 2019, and further authorize the county clerk treasurer to publish a notice of the proposed lease at least once in a newspaper published in the county.
I have a motion. I have a second.
I'll second that.
Moving a second to approve. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 15. This is a public hearing. It's supposed to be at 10:30 a.m., but it's actually about 11:40. We'll take no action, but this hearing is to consider objections to proposed lease of a portion of the county-owned building located at 1705 Peru Drive at the Tahoe Regional Industrial Center in Surry County, Nevada, to the Nevada Highway Patrol for no rent. Mr. Loomis.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. This is somewhat similar to the last agenda item. This differs in that this is between two governmental entities and is proposed for entry under Chapter 277 as an interlocal agreement rather than as a lease of county property. Today is the day that's been scheduled and it's been publicized in the newspaper as the date for people to voice any objections they have to the proposal to lease a portion of the county's crew complex to the Nevada High Patrol for no rent. Commander Bowers is here from the High Patrol if there are any questions from the board regarding that.
It goes at this time, too. We should ask if there's any objections to this proposed lease.
And I'd like to chime in, not with an objection.
No objections? All right, Mr. Whitten.
First off, I want to thank Commander Bowers. He's been very patient, and I apologize that I couldn't get you moved up the agenda, but thank you. And I'm going to give a little credit to Dave Ballard, our communications director. His daughter is in for a surgical procedure this morning, and I promised him that I would do the very best I could. Dave came to me and said, what do you think? The Highway Patrol had an offer of some space, and I guess they're using it maybe down in Silver Springs. It apparently isn't maybe quite as nice as what we might offer. I think toilets that flush as opposed to having to bring in sewer trucks or whatever they've got down there. But I see this as a win-win-win. Our partnership with the Nevada Highway Patrol, I think, is paramount. I look at some daily activities that come from dispatch, and I can't tell you how often we interact with Highway Patrol, whether it be on USA Parkway, C Street, 341, I-80, even outside our jurisdiction. And this is surplus space to us. It's actually some of this. These are two very small offices, one of which was my former office that now I'm functioning with Jason, I think. And the other one doesn't even have any windows. But we showed it off to the Highway Patrol, and I guess I will say, without asking Commander Bowers to have to come up and speak, I think they're very appreciative, but I want them to know we are too. The presence of marked units, sometimes at the substation, Station 75 in our acronym, is vital, I think. They may not be there for long. They may be out on USA Parkway. But remember, when they're out on USA Parkway, they're typically generating some money for the county in some of their activities. So I'm going to tell you, we may not be getting rent, at least for the current biennium until budgeting. They are going to pay their way through things like they're going to keep the toilets cleaned and that type of stuff. But Sheriff Montanaro, I had talked to him as this thing was getting legs. He welcomed it. So I thank the Highway Patrol, and we look forward to having you as our guest. So that's it.
Very good. Thank you, Pat. Which brings us right up to item number 16, discussion on possible action, consideration of possible action on approval or denial of proposed lease of county property located at 1705 Peru Drive in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center to the Nevada Highway Patrol for no rent.
So my understanding that there is no motion required at this time?
That was on the public hearing. This on number 16, we're addressing the entry into the lease itself.
Okay.
So under item 16, this is the proposed lease, which has been considered, and we had the public hearing on to see if there were objections. There haven't been any objections. And so this is the lease itself. It's for approximately 393 square feet within the county's Peru complex. The lease is for no rent. And it lasts for about 2 years. It will expire November 30th, 1922, and it's up for approval now.
Okay. Okay, Keith. Commissioners, have any questions for Keith on this lease? No? Any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, we get a motion to approve this lease.
Yeah, I, Lance Gilman, hereby move to approve the lease of a portion of the county property located at 1705 Peru Drive in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center to the state of Nevada for the benefit of the Nevada Highway Patrol on the terms set forth in the lease and authorize the chairman to sign.
All We have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded to approve this lease with the Highway Patrol. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Commander, good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving along now to item number 17, discussion and possible action to approve revised agreement to purchase assessor's parcel number APN001-172-003. One of the fairgrounds parcel from Rich Correll for the price of $83,333 and the transfer to Mr. Correll of Lot 6, Block 210, Range H in Virginia City, Nevada. Mr. Loomis.
Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. Members of the Board, this matter was actually before you once before. At the time, we had sent the proposed agreement to Mr. Correll. He had signed it. His signature turned up on a page all by itself, and which is, while it doesn't make it invalid, it is not really a good way to proceed with an agreement to have a signature all by itself on a separate page. So I revised the format and returned it to Mr. Correll. He was in Mexico at the time. In the intervening time period, this board had approved the original agreement. Mr. Correll asked for a revision to the agreement, saying that if we did not give him the extra lot as part of the consideration for the purchase, he was not interested in bumping the price up to the appraised value of the lot. And so we X'd that out. He signed it. It's got his initials on it. And I really don't see this as making any difference as the escrow for the transfer of the lot that will be going to Mr. Correll is underway, and I don't see that there's going to be any problem, but we do have a revised purchase agreement, so it's back before you today.
Okay. I guess it's not good to sign a document without any other verbiage attached to it.
Yes.
All right. Commissioners, have any questions for Keith on this? Is there any public comment regarding this item? Hearing none, get a motion to approve.
Hi, Lance Gilman. Move to approve the revision of the agreement to purchase APN 001-172-003 from Richard Correll for the sum of $83,333 and the transfer of Lot 6, Block 210, Range H in Virginia City, Nevada.
All right. We have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Moved and seconded to approve this action. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 18, discussion of possible action. Stipulation with Reno Tahoe Industrial Center, LLC, TRIC, to provide that incremental tax revenues used to reimburse owners of the property within the tax increment area, expenses in constructing the affluent pipeline will not be counted as project revenues, as that term is defined in the capital improvement plan agreed upon between Story County, DP Operating Partnership, LLP, and TRIC on or about February the 1st, 2000, project revenues, and are therefore not available as revenues to pay vouchers issued to TRIC Center, LLC. Mr. Lopez.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, as I hold a pecuniary interest in the property, it's the subject of this particular item. I'm going to recuse myself from discussion or voting on the item.
Very good. Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. Mr. Loomis?
Mr. Chairman, Keith Loomis, District Attorney's Office. Back at our last meeting in December, we had, before the board, were the possible approval of the reimbursement agreement and the interlocal cooperative agreement between the county and various people that are participating as landowners within the tax increment area. Those agreements were approved, but were conditionally approved upon receipt of a stipulation from Tri-Center LLC to the effect that to the extent that those TIA revenues are going to be used to reimburse the property owners for their costs of building the effluent pipeline, that those revenues would not be considered as available to retire the vouchers issued to TRI Center for the dedication of public infrastructure other than the pipeline. We have received that signed stipulation from Tri-Center LLC and are prepared to proceed. So what it will do is say that to the extent that there are TIA revenues generated, that are going to be used to pay back the property owners within the TIA for their expenses of building the effluent pipeline. Those revenues will not be included in revenues available for retirement or vouchers.
I want to thank some people. As I recall from our last meeting, we had just one remaining loose end, and that was a stipulation agreement, and hindered only a little bit because the gentleman that could authorize it was halfway around the world. And there was also some concern voiced that, well, what happens if they don't approve it? And Chief Deputy District Attorney Loomis and I and others had some alternatives in front of us, but quite frankly, I want to first start.
20 or 30 seconds.
First and highest on my list of thanks is to Lance Gilman, not Commissioner Gilman, Lance Gilman. We needed to get this done, and we needed to get it done in a manner that didn't hinder or impede the tax increment area. There certainly were others. Ultimately, of course, Roger Norman, who agreed. Also Bob Sater and Chris Thompson. So I want to thank these guys. Within 24 to 48 hours of your conditional approval of that tax increment area, conditioned upon this document being executed, it was a done deal. So thank you all.
Very good. Great. Thanks, Pat. Steve, do you have any questions for Chief on this?
Don't. I've reviewed this. I'm okay with it.
Okay. All right. We'll open it for public comment. Ms. Barton.
Nicole Bart, Story County resident. Just a quick question. Are there any changes in the documents in this agenda packet from the original agenda packet? Same documents, nothing changed? The agreement is the agreement the same?
The stipulation was not previously included as a document in the December 18th meeting. This is the first time it's been included in the agenda packet.
The document that is going to be the agreement or the amendment was included. So my question is,
what amendment are you talking about?
The amendment to the public-private agreement on the revenues.
I think it's as easy as the agreement was approved conditioned upon this being done.
Got it. But this was on the last agenda, correct?
It was continued, I believe, wasn't it? Right.
No, it was. It was on the agenda, it was continued.
Correct. So, it was on the agenda, it was continued. In that agenda packet, the document that is the amendment that you just discussed was in that packet, because I read it. My question is what I read then, has what you have today changed from what it was in the packet at that time? I mean, are there any changes? Roger didn't sign it because he was traveling. Sater didn't.
Chris Thompson signed it as an authorized representative of TriCenter LLC.
Mm-hmm.
The stipulation was sent to Bob Sater. He made some amendments. Whether those amendments were included in the previous stipulation or not, I'm not sure.
Okay, do you understand why I'm asking? What has changed? I mean, it didn't get signed the first time, which is why it got pushed out, but the material was in there. It's everything was contingent on this getting done. So now
all of the paybacks were on hold until we got the stipulation agreement signed.
Got it. And my question
now is, that the stipulation agreement is signed,
mm-hmm.
then those agreements that we approved at the last meeting will go forward.
Okay. My only question is, has anything changed in the stipulation agreement from the last time till now? That's all.
Well, like I say, Bob Sater made some amendments to the stipulation. I don't recall whether that was before or after the last meeting, but there was nothing substantive.
Okay, that's what you say then. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other public comment? Okay. We have the signed document.
That's what we're waiting for. So we get a motion to approve item 18.
Okay. I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the stipulation between Story County and TRIC that incremental tax revenues derived from the tax increment area and used to reimburse property owners within the TIA for the cost of constructing an effluent pipeline will not be counted as project revenues when determining the amount of revenue available to pay for the infrastructure vouchers issued to TRIC.
And I'll second your motion. It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. All right. This time we'll welcome Commissioner Gilman back to the board. And we'll move along to item number 19. Discussion and possible action. Approval of second reading for general business license, Crusader Armament and Training. Hank Shannon, owner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. All guidelines were met for sheriffs and chiefs regarding this.
You know, you just broke all the rules by talking from the rear of the room. You know that.
I'm used to that.
We still have to contend with the staff that has to transcribe the minutes. That's all we need to use the microphone. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. For the record, Tony Dozen. On this agenda, all guidelines were met, and there's no reason for it not to move forward.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you, Tony. All right, we'll open up a public comment regarding this item. Do the commissioners have any questions or concerns over this item?
None.
Okay. Motion to approve, then.
I'll make the motion to approve the second reading for the general business license, Crusader Armament and Training, Hank Shannon, owner, CCW instructor, 112 North Curry Street, Carson City, Nevada.
Right. I have a motion. I have a second.
I second that.
Move to second to approve the second reading. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 20, discussion of possible action, approval of business license second readings. We have 21 of them today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On behalf of Community Development, they are recommending approval of all items A through U as they appear on your agenda and in your packet.
Okay, thanks, Pat. Is there any public comment regarding the second readings, business license readings? Hearing none, I get a motion to approve.
I'll motion to approve all items A through U in this second reading.
Okay. I have a motion. I have a second.
I'll second it.
Moving to second to approve business license second readings. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 21. This is public comment. Any public comment today? Not today? Okay. We'll see everybody next Tuesday right here at 10 a.m.
Adjourned.